107.5 FM, W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News. I'm Derek Dennis. Former President Trump's visit to Arlington National Cemetery on Monday reportedly came to blows between a Trump staffer and a cemetery worker over claims the visit was an illegal campaign photo op. But the Trump campaign, including VP nominee J.D. Vance, is firing back.
There is verifiable evidence that the campaign was allowed to have a photographer there.
Video includes Trump criticizing the Biden administration's handling of the withdrawal. Some families of fallen soldiers buried at Arlington say they allowed Trump to photograph the event, but federal law prohibits political campaign or election-related activities within Army National Military Cemetery.
ABC's Perry Russum. A high-level meeting with National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan and Chinese President Xi Jinping today in Beijing. Both countries promoted unity and cooperation in securing world peace. And strong numbers on the nation's gross domestic product, measuring the cost of goods and services related to inflation. They show the U.S. economy grew at a healthy 3%. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The new COVID booster shot is rolling out, and experts recommend everyone who can get one should.
Everything appears to be covered by the vaccine, that it should be a good match and it should offer very good protection against COVID-19.
Tom Haupt is Wisconsin's state epidemiologist. More people are landing in the hospital with COVID these days. Haupt says that's likely because last year's boosters are losing their effectiveness. Wisconsin state tax collections for the fiscal year that just ended rose by more than 1%. That's $275 million additional dollars for the state officials weren't necessarily expecting. There's no word on why tax collections were higher than projected. The Department of Revenue is working on final numbers that will come out in October. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Northwest Wisconsin residents have continued to speak out against the relocation project for Enbridge Energy's Line 5 pipeline. According to a Fox 21 report, the company has proposed to relocate a 41-mile-long portion of the pipeline around the reservation of the Bad River Band of Lake Superior, Chippewa. Some are calling for a complete shutdown of the pipeline, saying rerouting it would impact hundreds of wetlands and streams. Supporters say the project would bring in union jobs and millions into the local economy. The Veterans Memorial Hall in the Duluth Depot has announced it will temporarily close to address flooding damage from July. According to a Northern News Now report, officials from the St. Louis County Historical Society says the roughly 300 historical pieces in the hall were not damaged, but their display cases, carpeting, and walls were. Officials expect it to cost about $30,000 for the replacement of the damaged items, and some of the artifacts will remain on display in other parts of the depot. And that's what you need to know. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
A big inning leads to a big win in Milwaukee. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska with sports. The Brewers used a 5-run fifth inning to win 5-3 over the San Francisco Giants Wednesday night. Manager Pat Murphy said that they got some timely hitting in the middle of the game.
I like the fact that we got a big 2-out hit, opposite field ground ball by Churio, and then Perkins, who had a great night. And then Contreras put an exclamation point on it.
William Contreras hit a 2-run home run in the inning, while Freddy Peralta struck out 8 in 6 innings of work as Milwaukee climbed to 20 games over 500. The series finale is Thursday afternoon. The Green Bay Packers cut their roster down to 53 this week, including making some big decisions at kicker and running back. The Packers open the season a week from tomorrow against the Eagles in Brazil. And the Wisconsin Badgers kick off their football season tomorrow night against Western Kentucky at 8 p.m. For Civic Media Sports, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Mostly cloudy today with scattered showers and thunderstorms this afternoon and tonight. Some locally heavy rain possible. An inch or more in spots. Our high today, 81. After that, heading into a fantastic weekend. Sunny, more comfortable. We're talking highs in the low 70s by Sunday at Labor Day. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 64.
Finding the special healthcare resources families need just got easier. Wisconsin Wayfinder, Children's Resource Network, helps kids with delays, disabilities, special health care needs, and mental health conditions. call toll-free 877-947-2929. Ask questions. Get answers. Connect today toll-free 877-947-2929. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Do you owe back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now and get some help. For a limited time, the IRS offers a tax forgiveness program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Our team can make it easier for you to pay back taxes, avoid tax liens, and get a fresh start.
I call Tax Solutions now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Call Tax Solutions now. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Fancy Brian Kelly is my guest co-host for the first hour, and then we're joined by Paul Noonan talking sports, weather, and wine with meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. And listen, I've got a dream. I don't even call this a job. You know, this is not a job. And what I do every day, I'm so honored to have the opportunity to come before you, the listening audience. And I've always said, I think the purpose of what this is bringing special people to the listening audience. It's never about me pontificating about how great I am and the things that I do. It's about the people who I can bring to the listening audience who I hope will have some impact on your life. And this man who I have the utmost respect for, and he's, you know, Let me try just to take just a millisecond to tell you who this man is I'm bringing before you. Now, this is an old, you know, not updated, and just a small snippet of who he is and what he's accomplished in his life at such a very young age. This is Kwaku Ramel Smith. He's a PhD. An LP. Dr. Ramel Smith was born and raised in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. He is a proud product of Milwaukee Public Schools. He continued his education at the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater, where he earned a Bachelor of Science in Psychology. He later went to the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee and graduated with a Master's of Science in Education Psychology and a Doctorate of Philosophy in Urban Education with an emphasis in school psychology. Dr. Smith is a licensed psychologist in the state of Wisconsin, a clinical psychologist by trade. Dr. Smith has had the opportunity to develop his skill set in varying arenas throughout his career, correctional facilities, hospitals, secondary and higher education since 2007. Dr. Smith has been the president of Blacksmith Psychological Consultative Services, LLC. A fierce advocate of social justice and community empowerment, Dr. Smith is regularly asked to provide commentary on issues of mental health. In addition to his work nationally, Dr. Smith strives to make an impact locally through providing training, and on 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 ad infinitum. But he even kicked it up another level this past year when Dr. Smith was one of 60 doctors who comprise the medical staff for the United States Olympics. Yes, he was in Paris, France, representing over 840 athletes. And he is here and he is back. And if all that wasn't enough, he is one of the best fathers that I know, and his children are exemplary young people who are going to be heard from in the decades to come and who are going to make major impacts in our community. And it's with that backdrop that I want to introduce to many of you the blacksmith himself, Dr. Kwaku. How you doing, Dr. Kwaku, man?
I'm doing good. I was wondering who you was talking about when you said all those things. I had to let the people know how much you mean to me. And I wouldn't be able to do some of the things if it was not for you. You, when I was even younger in this area, gave me a platform to be able to speak, to hone my skills, to build more confidence, but just put me in places and opportunities to have levels of success. And just the one-on-one mentorship conversations. I don't take that for granted. I appreciate you and your beautiful wife, what you've all done for the community, and personally what you've done for me and my family. So I salute you, dear brother.
You know, Doc, and I would be remiss if when I first met you, my wife and I had taken in a disabled young man, troubled, and we were having all sorts of trouble out of Jamari. And you were sitting in a cubicle at Children's Hospital. I didn't know the magnitude of who could have predicted at that point in time the trajectory of where you were headed. But I remember the conversations with Jamari as a very young boy, and you were the one person that was able to have some impact on him as he was developing. As a young child, he is a strapping 23-year-old man now. But you need to know that you were at the apex of, you know, us getting to understand the just what it was and who it was we were going to be dealing with for you know the last 21 years of our life.
I love that young man, and I got a chance to see him. Travis had brought him to the cookout.
Right.
We got a chance to just talk and laugh, and just to see the way he's grown and developed, and to see his skills progressed to doing different festivals and whatnot.
Yeah.
I believe drumming at the Irish Fest and whatnot like that is just it's a beautiful thing to see.
All right, so Doc, I want to talk with you, man, about where the stress is that people are experiencing, whether they're in rural America, whether they're in urban America, that I think are different than when I was a young man, and I think more dangerous to the development of human beings in this nation. What do you see, man? What has happened that even though we're the wealthiest nation on earth, the psychosis of the American people, including children, black, white, it doesn't matter, is really at an all-time high.
Yeah, I think when people talk about America, you do talk about like this land of milk and honey. And the first thing I say is you cannot confuse financial health or financial success with emotional wealth and emotional success. And so the money does not void you from any problems. And sometimes that money creates, especially in the dog-eat-dog world, it creates division. And in America, we stand by, you know, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. But when you see the fractions in that, where there's not justice for all, where it is a nation that's heavily divided, I think that's where you start to see the cracks. Then you do something like COVID. And even though that was a few years ago, you still see the after effects of that, you know, from people not being able to be socialized, seeing the ill effects of health, seeing some of the disparities that came in. And then, you know, we need look no further than like where we're at now. I was absolutely appalled by two things that happened. Former President Trump, taking pictures in a hallowed place. And then J.D. Vance telling the current vice president, and current Democratic presidential nominee to go to hell. Now, this is regardless if you agree with politics or not. This becomes a level of humanity and civility, which goes to your point. We've lost a level of humanity within our culture. We lost a level of tact and understanding. You know, long ago are the days of debates where there was really a disagreement and it was on content. You know, we used to laugh because we would see senators and congressmen go at it in the halls, but then they go out for golf and, right, and eat and drinks. I don't think you're going to see Jasmine Crockett and Marjorie Taylor Greene anywhere together. And so I think that goes into the point that we have such a divisive nation. And so that leads to a split in a level of humanity. And that level of humanity is that that sociability is what connects us. And when you lose social connection, the ability to see someone as a human, to see someone's viability and their usefulness, then that gives you a chance to otherize them, to minimize them, to downgrade them. And that's when we go into some of the darker times of our country where we didn't see people as, where we saw people as three-fifths of a man, or three-fifths of a person, where we saw people as cattle, chattel slavery. When you get back into that mindset, then there's an inferior, superior kind of complex. And I think that leads into all of the things in what you're asking. It's like, how do we get to this point? Because if we don't care, it shows in our policy, it shows in our legislation, it shows in how we teach, it shows in how we do everything in society. And I know a lot of times people talk about trickle down for economics, but this is a trickle down effect as it relates to emotionality and humanity. And you see that split, which causes factions and causes the frustration. And unfortunately, the nefarious behavior that we see as a matter of fact, because as a result of the things we don't do.
You know, Dr. Smith, when you talk about losing humanity, so we can see that even globally. We can see that in what is taking place in Gaza and the fact that we're watching human beings being slaughtered.
It's a genocide.
And yet we're silent. And so once humanity is damaged the way it is, are we in danger of not being able to recover it?
Oh, 100%. I believe if you watch the movie Oppenheimer, yes, and you look at Einstein when he talks, he was like, hey, figure what this is. Tell the Russians you have the capacity to do this and both of you stop. Because what he's saying is mankind has the capacity to eliminate mankind. And when you start to get these things, I tell everybody, it's clear that America, you know, we don't want to admit it, but America is a country that's on decline. And when you look at any great society, and I'm talking about where people had dynasties, you look at the Romans, you look at the Egyptians, you look at the czars of Russia, you look at the emperors of China, there was a time where those empires declined, but none of them had nuclear capability. Are you going to tell me that Cicero, that any of these Roman generals at the end would have not blown up the whole world if they could have when they saw their empire design? America has the capacity to do that. Russia has the capacity to do that. So are we in sake of losing our humanity, not only our humanity, but our whole planet?
844-967-2789 is the number. I am honored beyond words to have my good brother, Dr. Kwaku Ramel Smith, on the line with us. You can join us at 844-967-2789. Your thoughts.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
November 21st, 2021. The Waukesha Christmas Parade attack, a holiday celebration, turned deadly. Daryl Brooks drove his SUV into the Waukesha crowd, targeting as many people as possible. Brooks injured dozens and killed six, including an 8-year-old child. It never should have happened. Just days earlier, Brooks was arrested for trying to run over his girlfriend, but he was released on just $1,000 bail. Senator Tammy Baldwin voted against increased funding for pretrial detention of violent criminals like Daryl Brooks, making it easier for these criminals to terrorize our communities. Call Senator Baldwin, 608-264-5338. Urge her to support S-3919, the Keep Violent Criminals Off Our Streets Act. Because violent criminals belong behind bars. Paid for by One Nation, www.onenationamerica.org.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. I'm joined by, wow, you know, the one and only Dr. Kwaku Ramel Smith. You know, Dr. Smith, this conversation and the conversations you and I have had over the years, very involved, requires real thought of the people who are listening. And I think sometimes, Dr. Smith, that the people don't want to think about these really heavy and deep conversations. And it doesn't mean that the conversation shouldn't be had. I will say to you that, yes, I know that there are people, we're Americans, and sometimes I'm an American, right? I remember what James Baldwin used to say.
Yeah.
He used to say, the great writer, he used to say, you know, he talked about how he felt when he was in America and until he felt like he had to leave America, and he wound up going to France and Paris, and he said he realized once he left America and he went somewhere else, that's when he realized he was an American.
Yeah.
When he was in France, as you just came back from Paris, You were an American, no question.
Oh, yeah.
But as Americans, Dr. Smith, we have to open our eyes. You said that America's in decline. By all standards, we look at what is happening in our nation, and yes, we are. And so that doesn't mean that you're anti-American.
Not at all.
Because these are the conversations that need to be had. It's not like it can't be repaired. It's not like it can't be fixed. But for heaven's sakes, you don't fix it by not addressing the fact that it's an issue.
You know, to your point, James Baldwin said, he said, unquestionably, I'm America. And he said, I love America more than any country. And that's why I reserve the right to perpetually criticize her, because it's in that constructive criticism that we are allowed to see what is the issue. And then we must have the strength and the discipline to fix that issue. So to criticize, it's like if a husband and wife is married and a husband gives a wife advice or the wife gives the husband advice, doesn't mean they want to get a divorce. What they're saying is we have to fix some things and get it better. And I think it's the same with America. And I think the citizenry as a whole doesn't like what's going on. When you ask the average American, whether they be red, blue, or independent, they don't like to see some of the chaos, some of the unprofessionalism that goes on within the House of Capitol Hill. We all want to see, you know, that level of respect of politics, where there may be disagreement on policies, but at the end, if it's a democracy, the votes win, and then we go with that. And if that side is doing good, they continue to do good. But what we really love is when we see that bipartisan support. I was talking to my mother the other day, and I said, can you recall a time where after the presidential race, there was a unity within the country where both sides said, even though my side didn't win, this is now our guy, let's go ahead. And as we talked, we said, I think the last time was Bill Clinton, right after the first Bush left. And because Clinton had some pretty wild ideals too, now that you look back on retrospective, that were very heavily conservative and Republicans, you know, specifically the 94 crime bill right. passed during his era. But when you look at that, I think that was one of the last times where we had somebody where they was like, well, let's work together. Obviously, when Gore came with Bush, we had the Hanging Chad situation. So that had, you know, a heavy weight over his cloud over his judgment. And then when you look at Obama, I remember the Republicans saying, hey, let's cancel everything that he does so he's a one-term president. And so to answer the original question, what we have to do is not criticize, but we have to elect the right people. But when we look at it, it's not the people who are doing it. It's the oligarchs and plutocrats of the society, the lobbyists that control those people who are in politics. We don't have politicians who think they're on mind. We have politicians who are led by a corrupt and a small people, a sect of people in the society who want to remain, like I said, in that oligarchy status. And that puts a lot of pressure on the people, and division actually suits them well, because whether you're Republican or Democrat, most people vote against their own best interests.
Yeah, so Doug, go ahead. No, finish your point.
No, and I was just going to say, so I think it comes into understanding who really is in control and us finding the control, because it's not the people anymore. And that's why there's so much chaos and unease within the people.
My real concern, Doc, and it has always been and always will be, you've got a young family. And as we watch the road and the turn that our nation has taken, it's not a good one. I don't care where you live. I don't care what your religious background is. The road that our nation is taking is not positive. It's negative. And so we have to fix that. We owe that to our children. Why is it that we don't seem to understand that we owe that to our children, that we have to fix that for them, Doctor?
Well, you know, I think it goes from the baby boomers to Generation X. When baby boomers came, I think they did a great job of raising Generation X, but they also raised Generation X to be a little bit more independent, to be a little bit yeah. more self-serving. And I think with each generation, you have a little bit more of the microwave generation where I want it now. It's not the sacrifice. There's an old Greek proverb that says, you must plant a tree in which you will never feel, which you would never feel the shade. Not a lot of people live under that concept now. It's what can I have for right now? So it's about not what I can do and sacrifice so the people in my posterity can have something great after me, but what can I enjoy the fruits of my labor for, even if it benefits me, or excuse me, has a deleterious effect on me later. That's why people will credit themselves up to debt so they can have this material gain, this dopamine rush of now without any thought to the future. And if people have that lack of concern for their own future, how much less for their posterity?
Hold that thought, Doc. 844-967-2789. You know, the one and only Kwaku. Dr. Ramel Smith is my honored guest. 844-967-2789. You can join the conversation.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News.
I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Republicans are campaigning for Wisconsin's key votes. In De Pere last night, Vice Presidential candidate J.D. Vance talked about the obstacles facing people starting out.
Who wants to start a family if you can't afford a home? Who wants to start a family if you can't afford groceries? Who wants to start a family if you feel like the President of the United States is not looking out for your interests?
De Pere Democratic Assembly candidate Christy Welch says voters should worry the Republicans would raise sales taxes,
which will disproportionately put a burden on middle class, lower class folks.
She's running against Republican Benjamin Franklin. Donald Trump campaigns in La Crosse tonight. Civic media special coverage starts at 6. More campaign stops. Democratic vice presidential candidate Tim Walz will be in Milwaukee on Labor Day. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. The Bayfield County Board voted to oppose Congressman Tom Tiffany's proposal to make the Apostle Islands a national park on Tuesday. According to a Northern News Now report, local officials criticized Congressman Tiffany for not coordinating the move with them and allowing for public feedback before introducing the proposal. They say the change would limit hunting opportunities and does not focus on the county's need to diversify its economy. Congressman Tiffany said his office remains open to public input on the legislation. AmSoil Arena will soon have a new scoreboard for hockey season. According to a Northern News Now report, the Duluth Arena's current scoreboard has been plagued with technical issues due to the moisture in the arena, which does not have a dehumidifier installed. The Duluth Entertainment Convention Center is taking out a loan and using state funding to purchase and install the new $800,000 scoreboard. Officials expect it to be installed during the University of Minnesota Duluth's hockey seasons. And that's what you need to know. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabo. It only makes sense that there would be no sequel to a movie called It Ends With Us. But it's a strong possibility as stars Blake Lively and Justin Baldoni appear to be feuding, according to Variety. The Insider Mag claims that inside sources say there is no way to salvage the relationship between the two actors. Complicating things is the fact that Baldoni directed the film and Lively produced the film. Baldoni owns the rights to both of Colleen Hoover's books, It Ends With Us and It Starts With Us. Seems like the first one should be the sequel. Am I the only person who likes the Kelce brothers but has also had enough of them? Thanks to Amazon, they are not going anywhere and are about to become a lot richer. According to Variety, Travis and Jason Kelce just signed a $100 million deal with Amazon's Wondery, which gives them exclusive rights to the brothers Kelce's New Heights podcast for the next 3 years. Meaning all that money they make playing football and that Travis will make doing buddy cop films is pretty much just walking around money. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Mostly cloudy today with scattered showers and thunderstorms this afternoon and tonight. Some locally heavy rain possible. An inch or more in spots. Our high today, 81. After that, heading into a fantastic weekend. Sunny, more comfortable. We're talking highs in the low 70s by Sunday at Labor Day. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now it's 64.
2 hours ago, Kyle arrived at the bar.
Hey, what's everyone drinking?
30 minutes ago, Kyle got his friends another round of drinks.
Cheers!
5 minutes ago, Kyle decided to drive home drunk. A minute ago, a law enforcement officer pulled up behind Kyle.
Sir, have you been drinking tonight?
A chain of events that began 2 hours ago is about to change Kyle's whole world. Drive sober or get pulled over.
Paid for by Wisconsin DOT.
As fall approaches, you have a lot to prepare for. Back to school. Sporting events. Family gatherings. And staying on top of your health. The virus that causes COVID-19 continues to evolve. So this fall, no matter what you're prepping for, you can prioritize your family's health and make a game plan for COVID-19 vaccination. Ask your doctor or pharmacist to learn more. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Pete Schwabe.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Travel Wisconsin's Logan Rogie. And director Sean Hannish joins the show to talk about his documentary, Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights 7 till 9.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You could text us at that same number, man. I'm so thrilled and excited. You know, I get a chance to, I've gotten a chance to interview just so many great people in my time on the radio. And, you know, I don't know any. You know, it was not so long ago I got to interview President Biden. But, you know, my conversation with Dr. Smith supersedes all of that, man, because, you know, you really get to the root, man, of the soul of who we are. And the human being is more than the physical. He's the spiritual. And so the essence of who the person really is never in the flesh. And you always are able to talk about the essence of who we really are. And I appreciate you for that. I want to do two things before we get back. I want to ask you, and then we'll get directly to the phone lines. Doc, as I was coming in this morning, and as I've been watching, I saw a poor soul. And I just said the essence of who we are is really not the physical, it's the spiritual. And I saw this poor soul sitting on the street corner here in Waukesha with no shirt on, no shoes. He had just survived another night. And so, you know, we drive past these human beings in our society, and we've grown, you know, immune to them. Animals sitting in that position, we'll stop and we'll make sure that we take care of the animal. But we've gotten to the point in this society, Dr. Smith, that we don't feel that way about people, about human beings. Man, what's happened to us?
But I think that goes back to our other point as far as the lack of humanity. Calvin had so eloquently played the song Caravan of Love.
Right.
That was a song, and it was talking about this is how we come back together. Is it all revolves around love. Like, I love you. I care about you. You know, you see somebody who's down on the luck. How can I help you? I'm not talking about feeding a man for a day, but how can I help you to fish? How can I help you to get back on your feet? How can I do the things you need to do to help you get there? But like you said, we become so immune to our society because we see it so often. We become comfortable with dysfunction, where the dysfunction doesn't disturb us anymore. We walk around it. You know, before people would see trash and be offended, pick it up, put it in the garbage can. Now you just see it in the street, and because it's so much, you don't even care. You just accept it for that's how it is. And that's what I think we become as human beings. We become literal, you know, human trash. And specifically now, if you don't agree with what I agree with, if you don't look like what I look like on so many different points, it's easier to otherize you. And when I can otherize you and dehumanize you, I don't even see you as a person that's worthy of help. In fact, I start to blame you for your position. And not only do I not want to help you, I loathe you. And I think when you have a society that becomes like that is where you become afraid, because now there's a sect, a society that says I'm not being helped. So, you know, they say, what? Guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to be your worst enemy and I'm going to cause havoc. So when you look at a place like Milwaukee and you see cars being stolen, well, that's the outward of it. You have to ask yourself, that's the symptom. What's the root causes of all those things? And I think if we go back down into it, it goes into your earlier statement where we talk about having justice. You know, how do we have equality for all? And if we don't see a society where we deserve equality for all, we're not going to give anybody anywhere near the type of human respect we have to be able to lift them up when they're down. And when they do something wrong, even if it's because of some bad hands dealt out by society, we double down and we blame them and we punish them in a heavier way. And it becomes, you know, cyclical, but it goes down in a spiral like a snowball where it accumulates larger and larger. And that larger snowball, unfortunately, not like something kids play with in a schoolyard, but it becomes the sect and the dredge of society. So when we see the opioid epidemic, when we see human trafficking, when we see all of these scourges in life, it's not just, you know, in one place, like you said, where you look at the inner city or you look in the suburbs or you look in the world. This is something that happens all across America and de facto all across the world.
All right, let's go to Tom from Richland Center. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what, sir?
Good morning, gentlemen. I was one of them boomer kids who grew up in the suburbs, white guy, college track, you know, going to be a corporate, some kind of professional. And the Vietnam War knocked my socks off when I realized, amongst all the horrors, that we were dropping more bombs in an area the size of New Jersey than we did in all World War II, which is pretty amazing when you think about it. But growing up and trying to do stuff, you get around to the point where you have something like Medicare for All, and I ran on that trying to run for office. It would cost half as much. The money people would save would be spent locally out here in the rural area. That would double the economy if you take that money and spend it locally and multiply it five times like they do economic theory. And yet people won't do it, and they think for some reason they got to have the corporate high price thing that's ripping them off. Just one example, Green New Deal, same thing, where we could make our own energy out here and use local biofuels and, you know, just transform the economy. And all those ideas get just turned into political ping pong balls and turned into slogans, and they're not real. And it's just disgusting because it's so obvious. So it's really hard to try to make a difference when there's such a blinders on everything. So thanks for all your work.
Hey, Tom, thank you very much for that information. Doc, you want to respond to any of that?
Yeah, I just want to say, like, I think Tom hit the nail on the head. When I talk about, like, the last president that I think there was an easy transition being Clinton, I think the last president with a high level of conscience was James Earl Carter. And he talked about lot of those things that Tom was just talking about. Like, why can't we do this? This makes sense. It saves money. But big business said, oh, no, we can't have that. So it became profits over people. So even though things might have made financial and fiscal sense for the masses, if it didn't help the elite, I will always go back to the oligarchs and plutocrats of this country. You know, we talk about the oligarchs of Russia. We need to look at the oligarchs of America. And when we look at the wealth disparity, we understand it. And directly to Tom's point, there are so many things that can make this nation better for everybody, rural, suburban, city, things of that nature. But by doing that, it takes out the wealth of those elite. And they won't allow that to happen.
Let's go to David from Mequon. Good morning to you, David. You say what?
Hey, good morning, Earl. Good morning to the good doctor. Boy, this is a blast from the past. I haven't heard him on the radio for quite a while.
Yeah.
I just wanted to ask the good doctor here, if he's familiar with the acronym NEET, N-E-E-T. Are you familiar with that or no?
I am not. Please inform.
Okay. All right. So this is an epidemic. It's kind of prevalent around the world. And essentially, about 11% of the United States, 20% of the world population, they're not interested. They're not in education, employment, or training. And so basically, they're absolutely doing nothing. And so essentially, we have one-fifth of the world population that is just out there, just floating around, and they have no skill set, they have nothing. And I think in the United States, the fact that we have I think it's 11% from what I was reading, and there's, if you look it up on Google and you just punch in NEET, there's multiple articles that talk about this. And I think because of that, that's having a profound effect on everything that we see and hear and talk about. Because if you have a whole generation of young people, keep in mind, these are people that are going to be potentially taking care of us. I'm a Gen X person. I'm in my early 50s. And, you know, essentially, it worries me as I get older, that these younger generation, if they don't have any skill set and they're not interested in being employed, it's a huge problem. And how do you combat that? So I thought I'd throw that in the mix because that's something that's I've just been reading about recently, and I think it's something that, you know, when you have the time, doctor, to maybe kind of look into that, delve into that.
Hey, David.
That is a serious situation.
Thank you very much for the question. Doc, you want to respond?
Yeah, now I was not familiar with the acronym, but as far as what he was saying, it's something that's been troubling us for a while. And I think one of the things when I'm around his age, and so when I was in school, I remember one of the things I always admired was they said America's literacy rate, 99%. You know, people can say a lot of things bad about Fidel Castro, but the one thing what nobody will ever talk about is what he did for education and what he did for the healthcare system in Cuba. You know, all of the other stuff, I'm not going to get into the debate about that, but even though his arch opponents would say that. And so going back to that system, we have to say, what does our society invest in? And when you have a society that invests in the people specifically from the beginning, and we've talked about this before, Earl, we invest so little for young people between the ages of 0 to 5, but we know that 90% of the brain is developed by the age of 5. And this is the part of you that's your limbic system, that's your reflex that controls your emotions, your ability. So we ask ourselves, why wouldn't we not invest in K-5? So when you start to look at where the investment is for anybody, specifically in a capitalistic society, that's where your return of investment comes. So if I'm not investing in that, that lets you know that's not what I'm interested in. When America said they wanted to go to the moon, they went to the moon. When America wants something, they do something. Why? Because one thing Samaya Clark taught me, she said, whenever you want to know somebody's understanding, she said, look at their budget, because that is the moral contract when you see the budget line. When you look in America, you will see discretionary funding is always heavily outspent to what? Military, because that's something that we believe in. But now when we want to make sure that everybody has everything that they need, you will see the funding, and not only the funding, but the policies and everything that allows for certain things to happen. When we look at our education system, when we look at, let's just go back, because as the caller said, we were in the same generation. And me and you have had this conversation on the radio, Earl. Just if we look at Milwaukee in a microcosm, in the 1970s, what was it? It was the absolute best place for African-American
in the nation. In the nation.
So fast forward that 40 years, now this is
one of the worst.
The worst. Whether you go to Milwaukee, you go to Waukesha, you go to Racine, you go to Kenosha, the worst place. And why is that? Because we saw, we talked about the Bill Clinton era, the 94 crime bill that saw what an increase in population with the prison industrial complex. We saw the military industrial complex rise with all of the different wars from the Gulf in 91 to Afghanistan and Iraq. Then you look at the medical industrial complex. When you look from a psychotropic standpoint and a pharmaceutical standpoint, what you see is a purposeful deterioration of the people. So if you want to see people in employment, you want to see people in training, you want to see people in all these areas where they're going to be productive in life, we have to invest in it and not do the things that's going to make it counterproductive for them to be their best person. The society in which you live, there's always the nature-nurture debate. The society in which you live has a nurture component. And I would complain, or I would argue, that the nurturing component is more important. And if we invest in the nurturing, we will see a like to that not for education, employment, and training that he just spoke about.
Man, yeah. Wow, man, you know, it's so great to have you on, Doc. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show, the one and only blacksmith himself, Dr. Kwaku Ramel Smith, who is plying his trade. Hang on the phone lines. We'll be right back.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
When you think about Labor Day and what it means, do you think about Wisconsin? You should, but let's go back to explain. In the mid-1800s, activists pushed for a day to recognize workers' contributions. President Grover Cleveland signed a law in 1894 making the first Monday of every September a national holiday. So where did the first labor union form in Wisconsin? Wausau? Green Bay, Milwaukee? The answer coming up. The Badger State has an impressive history. Bricklayers and carpenters formed unions in the 1840s and were the first to push for workers' compensation and unemployment insurance. Now, did you guess? This all happened first in Milwaukee. The state's labor unions formed in 1847. The National Labor Union didn't form until 1866, 19 years later, leading the way for other states as this slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
All right. Welcome back to the last few minutes of the Earl Ingram Show. Man, I don't know where the time went, Doc. Man, we got to do this again, man. We got to do this again. Dr. Romel Smith, the blacksmith, is plying his trade. Nobody does it better. I'm going to go right to the phone lines and Mike from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Mike. You say what?
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call as always. You know, I'm very interested in what the doctor's talking about. And I'm looking for, I don't know, verification. You know, I suspect when the media changed away from having a fiduciary responsibility to basically, you know, all's fair, you know, business responsibility. And along with that, then the divide and conquer messaging of fear and mistrust permeating the media ever since the 90s, and quite frankly, it's gotten worse as we've come along here. I want to get the doctor's thoughts on the media's role in creating this somewhat of a disconnect from reality.
Hey, Mike, thank you very much for the call. Doc?
No, Mike, you know, your callers, that's why I love listening to your show, because your callers are always on point. And when I listen to Mike, that's absolutely it. And so, you know, obviously, as a psychologist, we talk about the psychology of media. We talk about the psychology of marketing. And when you look at who own all of the major broadcasters, it goes back into the almighty dollar. And so what is the whole purpose of it? Long lost are the days of the people like Walter Cronkite, the people who you could look at and see, hey, this is going to be an objective news. We're going to give you the facts and the data and let you look at it yourselves. But now when we see the news where you say they have the fear mongering, you have partisan politics, and then it's all controlled by the dollar. Because when you look and see who owns the company, the biggest thing I learned was to FTD, follow the dollars. And when you see where the dollars go to, you see who owns everything and then what they're trying to create. And what, like I said, is they do create division. They do create a fear. And all of these things is what brings out the worst in society. As we had left right before with the last caller, we said, what's the most important part? What's the nurturing? So what environment are you raised in? Again, we go back to the song, Caravan of Love. If we put our people around loving and caring, I know it seemed a little, you know, like you said, oh, is this really realistic? You know, it's like got an Elysian kind of feel to it, utopian state. But when we can do decency, even if you say we can't do love, but if we can do respect versus fear, hate, comparing, dragging people down, you're going to create a different human being. And what our news does, it with the propaganda, it propels us and props us. If you listen to a person who only listens to Fox News, they're going to be slanted in a different way. And that's how you can even get extremes as QAnon, because people fall down that rabbit hole of nonsense, and they can go to the far on the left also. So what it comes to is about how can we have a balanced approach so we can really be equally educated. But within our education system, it doesn't allow us to become critical thinkers. And so it teaches us to be programmed robots. So when we hear things, we automatically believe it without fact checking. And it allows us to set those ideologies, and those ideologies, like Mike stated, usually puts us in opposition to the people who we should be aligned with.
Let's go to Tom from LA. Good morning to you, Tom. Thank you. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. First, we the people ultimately are the government, so we must never forget that. However, we do need to get money completely out of politics, because since Citizens United, Buckley versus Vallejo, and First National Bank versus Bilotti, those are the three Supreme Court decisions that have made it where our politicians don't have the courage to actually stand up and say we need to get money completely out of politics and we need public funding of elections. If we did that, we could probably get back to where we are. I want to ask the doctor, what would you recommend so we can get money out of politics, lobbyists out of Washington, and restore government back to we the people?
Hey, John, thank you for the call. Go ahead.
And I know we're running short on time, but I think that's the scariest part, because if you look at like what's on Agenda 47 or Project 2025, these are the things that I think make that even further possible. Noam Chomsky wrote a book called Requiem for the American Dream, and he talked about how the dream was being denied. When you look at the regulatory agencies that were put in, the FDA, the EPA, things of this nature to make sure everything was under control, what happened? You had regulatory capture where the lobbyists then, not only did they were able to pay off the people who were in charge of these places, they started to put their people in charge. So there was no safeguards, no safe rails. And so when you look at a Supreme Court that's supposed to be nonpartisan, but it's very partisan, that lets you know that our democracy, when they talk about how fragile it is, we are in that fragile state. When I talk about we are a nation in decline, that is the thing. The question is, can we recapture it? And the only way we can recapture it, if really we the people put a halt to it. But what the things that are inside what our society right now is making it more difficult for us to be able to pull it back in before we find ourselves in an autocratic monarchy fascist state. And that's where we're headed if we don't be careful.
So, Dr. Smith, quickly, I live in the city where young people, unfortunately, have given up, many of them, and who think that they're not going to live to be 15 years old. And so they have guns. Somebody made sure that 12-year-olds and 15-year-olds have access to automatic weapons. And these young people are, as you stated, stealing cars, and they're wreaking havoc. And, you know, and the police and people, the police can't solve these problems. And yet we keep hearing people say more police, more jails. What are they missing?
Well, it's just like you said, they want to solve a problem by not really looking at the problem. When we talk about a budget of a country, that's going to give you, that's the moral document in which they tell you what's important. And until we start to see the finances put in, the policies and procedures put in place to be able to give those who are the least of society a chance to really be able to live the true American dream, where you're supposed to be able to rise as high as your ability would allow you to, but everybody has that fair and equal chance, we're going to see a society exactly where it is. And a lot of times people don't like to hear this. And this is, again, to the just the last caller. It's like, how do we get it back? The question is, most societies are greedy, and the greed usually chokes them out to the point that it destructs their society. And that's where we're headed.
Hey, Doc, man, can we do this again sometime?
Yes, sir, 100%.
Oh, man. Yeah,
that's an easy yes.
Oh, well, we're definitely going to make this happen. Man, thank you very much. Kiss the babies. I saw your wife and your daughter at an event last Saturday in the community. So, man, so we'll be talking soon, man. Thank you.
Love you. All love.
Thank everybody who made the show go, Calvin, as always. Thank you to listening audience. Without you, we couldn't do it. Up next, Greg Box standing in for Jane Mettner. Hey, be safe. Enjoy. You know, the rest of the day.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we will preview Donald Trump being in La Crosse, Wisconsin, and much more. We'll discuss it. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays noon till 2.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey. Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.